Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go at precisely 6 p.m., well, no, 6:01, really. A little past 6:01 in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone here in Almost Level West by Cole, Virginia, stand. Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Yes, indeed, for the 10th day of August 2016. This is the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. See, I got it in there early this time. And, I'd love to see you in the Horn chat room. Jump on over. As long as you got a computer that uses Java, there's a little bit of an issue there. But if you pop into the chat room, you'll be met by Anatole, Hoghead, Jug-a-Punch, Labor Man, BT Blom, and, of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, still has better sense than to fold space smack dab in the middle of the Arakeen Desert, Northern California, and thus is not this evening man cave. Right. A reminder, this is a listener-supported program, and being as how it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, it's a plate-passing program. That's how we keep everything on the air. We've managed this week, yay, verily, to stay even, so that we only have to raise $200 this evening. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12 and a half, or 32 at 6 and a quarter, or 64 at $3.13. I'll tell you what, we are raking it in, rounding up from that that 12 to that, rounding up that 5 to 13 cents. The accounting department is going wild. Yes, it is. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and we got lots of fun stuff to. Lots of fun stuff to go into this evening. Brother and sister, and I tell you what, I have to be careful what I say about, and pardon any noise in the background. It's right noisy in here in the sanctuary this evening because the fans are going for all it's worth. It's might warmish. Yeah, might warmish. That you'll have that in August in Appalachia. But I got to be careful what I say because the little old blue-haired lady's messages get back to him right quickie-like. And so imagine my delight this evening when I walked into the fellowship hall there, and there they was, working in the kitchen, and it had to be every bit 115 degree in the kitchen there, and they's whooping up a pot of chicken and dumplings. And mercy, they were good. Oh, not a sad dumpling anywhere to be found. Oh, so good, so good. Man, I heaped on the fresh ground black pepper. Oh, it was right smart tasty. And so I might be a little bit slow this evening here in the cathedral, just because I'm a little naughty. That's N-O-D-D-Y, not N-A-U-G-H-T-Y, naughty. Just because I'm so damn full. And they all the half runners is a coming in, and they spent hours snapping and stringing those son of a guns, and they were good. Oh, they were mighty good. you know, cooked up with the slivered onions and the bacon, and just the tiniest wee little bit of sugar worked in, just to lift out all the flavor, just to lift up and glorify that green bean goodness. Yeah, there was some green beans there, and an iron skillet pan fried yeller squash. My goodness gracious! Oh, this is that time of year when everything that hits the table is nothing short of delicious. And then, yes, we were forewarned. There was indeed a big old bucket of blackberries soaking in their own syrup down there in the bottom of the industrial refrigerator there in the industrial institutional kitchen of the Cathedral of Common Sense. And we wound up with both pies, little old fried pies, and blackberry cobbler. Oh, mercy, it was good. I saw a couple of deacons tucking the, because they're portable. I saw a couple of deacons tucking the fried pies into their suit coat pockets. Go up and give them a hug real good, why don't you? Gluttony is a sin, remember? But they trundled their massy bulk up the stairs and out into the parking lot where they can be found a-smoking with the sinners. The fresh batteries in Sister Carol Baker's cattle prod are apparently legendary at this point. All she had to do, barely a step outside of the sanctuary, and they were hot-footing it inside. Didn't even cast a second glance at that new but rapidly desiccating bowl of butter mints there on the vestibule table next to the wax fruit, and well, there they are. There they are, all right down there in front of waiting on me. I tell you what, the cooking that's been going on in the Fellowship Hall kitchen this month, Fellowship Hall kitchen gas bill likely going to top $40 this week, this month. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. The little old blue-haired ladies have been outdoing themselves. Mercy. But they did. They hot-footed it on in. They're down front here. They're waiting with those big, heavy, brass, velvet-lined offering collection plates. And brethren and sistren, here in just a minute, we will call up the minister of music, and they'll begin to pass those plates around. And in the bottom of the plate, you'll find a little button that says PayPal. Just press it. And you will find that it will respond most pleasantly, and then just fill in whatever amount you seek to put in the plate. If you care to, we're always looking for new subscribers. Click that box that says make this a recurring monthly donation, and it'll be good for about a year at least. And next thing you know, you too will be a subscriber to the Horn and help us in those moments, especially when things look dire and fundraising falls apart over any given evening, and fill in the gap and stand in the gap and once more unto the breach, dear friends. That's how that works. Just fill out all the requisite information. You can leave out the part about what you do and why you do it. We don't care. And just get to the next screen. It's always just about getting to the next screen. Get to the next screen. That's where you make your PayPal choice, your Visa, your MasterCard, your Discover, your Merkin Express, National Bank of Norblap 9. You know, that kind of stuff. For the listening aliens. We take the Norblap currency. We do. It's just a little tough to convert. But that's so. I'm gonna call the minister of music up now, brethren and sistren. And as he leads us in the offertory prayer and the offertory hymn, brethren and sistren, with every head bowed and every eye closed, glory. I'm gonna ask you to just put a little something in the plate and pass it. Put a little something in the plate and pass it. We'll just keep that plate going for the next 3 hours We'll just keep that plate going until we reach our evening's fundraising goal. Just keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Don't make me lock the doors. I've seen how much sweet iced tea y'all drank. Just keep it going, and we'll be fine. We'll be just fine. So, Brother Minister of Music, if you would step forward, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mary'sy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? Oh, glory, wouldn't you? Oh, brethren and sistren, I'm a welcoming you to. I am a welcoming you to the cathedral of common sense, brethren and sistren. And a welcoming you, I'm a calling upon you, brethren and sistren. Calling upon you to get up out of your seat. Get up on to your feet. And come on out. And come on down that blood red aisle. Heck, glory. And fall. Fall upon your knees at the altar and glory, lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid. And this here is the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. Hell, amen and amen. Worlds without end. Brethren and sisters, we're going to send the plate around again. It come back through, and you know what was in it? 666 Mexican pesos. Oh, glory. I thank you so much for help for the outreach from our brothers, our brother and or sister, our sibling, glory. Our sibling who transacts business in the Mexican peso. Amen and amen. So that knocks us down for fundraising. Some, it knocks us down to about, let's see, carry the peseta. And, that $165 and some change is what we got to go in fundraising for this evening, brother and sister. So we'll just send it back around. We will. We'll send it back around. And hopefully I will not have to, I will not have to lock the cathedral doors. Deacons hate it when I do that, because nobody gets after the sweet iced tea more than the deacons do. That's why the little old blue haired ladies have to make extra gallon pickle jugs full of sun tea. Yeah. Brother Usher Steve, up in New York wants to know: do we also accept currency on the bank of the planet Kolob? And regrettably, Brother Usher Steve, no, we do not, because they take a cut. You can't get around it. And they claim it's out of out of necessity to pray for the souls of elder prophet Brigham Young or some such, but it don't wash with me. No, brethren and sistren, we begin this here prayer meeting Wednesday service with a back reference to. A story I mentioned at the beginning of the week. It was a horrifying story. The story of the 10-year-old boy that was killed on the giant slickety slide there in Kansas City, the Verrückt at Schlitterbahn Water Park. Brethren and sistren, it turns out that the 10-year-old boy was the son of representing Scott Schwab, of the state of Kansas stand. The family attended the Life Mission Church in Olathe, Kansas. And on Sunday morning, they were debating there at church whether they should go to the hell's the name of this place? The Verrückt, complete with umlaut, at Schlitterbahn Water Park. They weren't sure. They thought it might rain, because there was clouds in the sky and it was cool outside. But they prayed over it and they decided to go, because the Verrückt at Schlitterbahn Water Park was having a special day of free admission to the families of elected officials in the area. And you know by now, it was horrifying. The little boy was decapitated. And there's no good way to talk about this story except to note that as a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Papa Schwab was one of those Republicans who is always on guard against job-killing regulations, brethren and sistren. The Verrückt at Schlitterbahn Water Park had not been inspected since it was opened. There are, brethren and sister, no federal laws whatsoever, no federal regulations that regulate or attempt to ascertain the safety of rides, if you can call it like this, anywhere in America. It's all left up to the freedom of the 50 little petty countries that we call the states. When they first went to open the Verrückt at Schlitterbahn Water Park, they tested this water slide, which begins with a 17-story drop, goes up a hump that's five stories, and then drops again. And the riders ride on a raft of sorts, and they wear Velcroed safety belts. Well, when they went to test it, they tested it with sandbags. And they had these unfortunate incidents where the rafts with the sandbags in them would simply launch off the water slide. If you look hard enough, there's video of it out there. And they had other instances where the sandbags would leave the raft. But because the true motto, brethren and sistren, of the United States is not "In God We Trust," but rather "The Business of America is Business," or translated from the original Coolidge, "Anything for a Buck," the thing was allowed to open. And just a few days before, another individual had been on the thing and found himself holding on for dear life, a full-grown adult. Holding on for dear life just to get to the bottom of the ride because his Velcroed safety harness had come loose during the event. Now, the Verrückt at Schlitterbahn Water Park had weight requirements. Because that was one of the things they figured out, is that if you did not have a certain amount of weight in that raft, sucker was going to launch. And little 10-year-old boys, you have to be at least 54 inches tall, and supposedly they weighed you at the bottom of the stairs and again at the top of the stairs. But they let the little feller go on through. I mean, you wouldn't want the 10-year-old son of a state legislature to be throwing a fit because he couldn't get on the water slide now. And so they let him on. But when you consider what the rate weight requirements were, they would have needed, like, a couple of 250-pound adults to provide the necessary weight to keep that thing from doing what, well, whatever it was it did. It's a horrible story. And I don't know why Jesus told them to go ahead and go, because it was free that day. They'll be having his funeral, little Caleb's funeral. They'll be having his funeral at 2:00 on Friday there at Life Mission Church. Makes you wonder how we could help make these things safer. Me, I think a big federal government might be able to help with that. I mean, really, there's no difference in the safety of one of these things in Kansas and the safety of one of these things in New York, or the safety of one of these things in Washington State, or the safety of one of these things in Alaska or Hawaii, or down on the Gulf Coast at Redneck Riviera, Lower Alabama. So maybe some, I don't think physics are any different in Kansas and Alabama or New York or Washington or California. No. But we have a Congress that would rather that would rather eat its own toenail clippings than to pass one of those job-killing regulations. And after all, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini spent a chunk of time Monday talking about how he's going to roll back all the regulations because, brethren and sister and heart glory, we're going to win again. Maybe that's what young Caleb Schwab was doing. Maybe he's winning. Because he's having all that fun because that slide wasn't regulated. I mean, they had one miserable little regulation said it was supposed to be inspected once a year, but who was watching? That's what you call industry self-reporting, which they didn't. You have any idea how much it cost to build that damn thing? You have any much money? Any idea how much money they lose if they have to shut that? Oh my God, they have lost serious money. Minister Reverend Clint Sprague said of young Caleb, he loved Jesus. He loved to talk about Jesus. He loved to pray. Caleb was a 10-year-old child, but in many ways he was a man of God. He's going to be missed for his energy, for his life, for his smile, for the way he lit up a room. Yeah. He's going to be missed for the fact that because we can't bother to regulate water slides because capitalism, doesn't get to be an 11-year-old boy who lights up rooms. See, this is an object lesson in what Republicans are talking about when they talk about, well, I'm a small government Republican. That's the small government they want. They want a government that's so small that it cannot force a water slide operator to periodically make sure that its water slides don't decapitate 10-year-old little boys. That's your small government Republican. I want a big government. I want a government so big that not a single water slide can operate in the United States that would be run in such a way as to decapitate a 10-year-old little boy. That's what I want. And thank you. Thank you kindly to our dear sister Jude for sending along that follow-up. Thank you, Jude. Thank you very much indeed. Christianity. Let me do this real quick. Just a reminder, the mailing address for the Horn, for those of you who prefer the U.S. mail service, is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, WV 25801 for checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not to Bob Kincaid, because I never see him. And just let me know when that happens, and I'll tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout. Meanwhile, Sister Carol Baker notes, now, Bob, that's not true. There's no regulation. They have been ordered to self-report if they're asked for their records, and then they're ordered to not say no, but if they say no, There's nothing the state of Kansas can much do. Carol knows, but hey, Mama and Daddy are rejoicing in the knowledge that their loving son Caleb is in the loving arms of his Lord. All of him, just not the body without the head. There were a couple of young women in the raft, and they were hurt too. It's wall-to-wall coverage here. Hashtag thoughts and prayers, y'all. Hashtag God is love, y'all. And, of course, that's getting all the attention. But meanwhile, there was a county fair somewhere in Tennessee. And on the Ferris wheel, a couple of the gondolas got to rocking, and the gondolas got to knocking. And one went loop-de-loop and dumped out the three young female occupants of same, and they fell a couple of dozen feet to the hard, hard earth below. Two of them received abrasions and contusions. One of them, at last count, had some sort of closed head injury. You know, it's West Virginia State Fair time here, and it's not too awful far away. It costs a small damn fortune to go, so I reckon we won't. But from time to time, the young'uns have caught a ride with somebody else going. And, I mean, really, my digestive tract does not need to go experimenting through the fair, through the midway, looking for that one hand-dipped corn dog among all with the mustard. I've been known to take my own mustard. I'm kind of a mustard snob. I mean, even the Kroger brand stuff that just the store brand of their Dijon is far and away above your little yellow packets of nastiness there on the midway. But I told the kids a long time ago, I don't ride them things. Why not, Daddy? And I said, because I see who sets them up. Yeah. Yeah. And there, you know, no inspection. They travel from town to town, state to state, and, you know, best of luck. Yeah, it's a little bit like that down at Fairleigh, West Virginia, Carol. Missouri State Fair, she says, deep-fried Twinkies, deep-fried Snickers bars, free defibrillators. Bingo. I don't do that stuff. Don't get on big old road. Because, you know, my explanation has always been, and it boils down to I'm a big old chicken who's not real sure about the rules of physics or the understanding thereof. But, no, my explanation's always been if I want to go really fast and be pretty sure I've got a good chance of dying, I can always get out and drive fast down the mountain here and, you know, play chicken with coal trucks. But at least I will be in control of my destiny. I remember one time in the minivan, just kind of in a hurry to get home, and I was sort of stomping it up the mountain. Up the mountain's the fun way to go. Going down, now you got it. No, up the mountain, you can really. And the children, slow down, Daddy, slow down. I was like, what? You don't like this? And yet you'd get on a roller coaster. One hopes the wisdom comes through at some point in time. But it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Thoughts and prayers, y'all. Thoughts and prayers. And by the way, it would not be prayer meeting Wednesday if we did not have a moment of faith with former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson. And this is a doozy. Have you been wondering about why all the... The news is out there about all the rotten, mean, dangerous, hate-filled stuff that the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini has been saying? Have you been wondering? Well, former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson has an answer for you.
I sympathize with Donald Trump. I had a group called Media Matters. I had another group called People for the American Way. They taped every single word that I said, and I did about 10,000 broadcasts. I did that many ad-libs, and every time they would take my words and transpose, they would take connectors out, and then they would put it out, and there was somebody in the AP who was one of their clones, and they picked up, and across the country would come these idiotic statements. The same thing's being done to
then
Trump.
Take your statement out of context.
Out of context, twist it around, and then throw it out, Robertson just said, and
you know, out of context. Things like Pat Robertson says, Pat Robertson tells woman not to shop at vintage clothing store because there may be demons in that Angora sweater. I remember we played that clip one time, and it was, you know what it was? It was just chock full of context. Nothing was clipped out. No connectors were gone. Connectors? Are you talking about conjunctions, Brother Pat? Conjunctions? Connectors? Ah, with the connectors taken out. Connectors. Yeah. It seems like this might be fitting at the moment. Without a doubt.
Body grows bigger.
Your mind must flower.
It's great to learn.
Cause knowledge is power.
It's Schoolhouse Rocky, the chip on the block of your favorite Schoolhouse Rock.
You've been waiting for Conjunction Junction.
Oh, dig that funky beat.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction Junction, how's that function?
I got three favorite cards that get most of my job done.
Conjunction Junction, what's their function?
I got and, button, or, they'll get you pretty far. And, that's an additive, like this and that. But, that's sort of the opposite, not this, but that. And then there's or, O-R, when you have a choice like this or that. And
Jesus, you know, I gotta stop it because I'd forgotten that. So, the car that's marked or, it's full of coal. Or, get it? Eh. No, it's full of this black filth and it's kind of got to be cold, but and is an additive. Oh, no, not an additive. Somebody called Jill Stein. We can't have any additives. Wi-Fi. I think that's what Brother Pat's talking about there, with your additives there. And as Sister Carol points out, Media Matters posts video of those idiotic comments. And when he talks about People for the American Way, he's talking about Right Wing Watch, who has this clip too. And you can never say enough about Right Wing Watch, because somebody there is really taking one for, I mean, they need to be taken out for ice cream every day after their shift, because to go through this, I mean, just sit there and watch it. And, you know, the head begins to wobble a little bit on the neck stalk, and the eyes get a little droopy, and pretty soon they start rolling back in the back of the head, and the next thing they're speaking in tongues. Okay, it's time to move the intern off to Pat Roberts. Put him over on Michael Savage. That'll perk him up. I just have this vision of all these little editing bays there at Right Wing Watch. And they're all soundproofed, because otherwise the screaming would reach the streets. But anyway, so Pat Robertson sympathizes because Media Matters takes things he says and takes out the connectors, additives.
Around the world, it was, yeah. So they're doing it to Trump now. There's a whole team of people just looking for every word he speaks to make him look silly. What he said,
you know, or homicidal.
yesterday, I think, or the day before, whatever, the Second Amendment crowd will come, you know, give me a hand. And what he's talking about are those who are concerned about gun control, and what he's saying, a new Supreme Court judge. It's been a virtually a tie on it. And the next time they put a liberal judge on, they'll be reversing the Second Amendment.
And you get reversing the Second Amendment. Reversing the Second Amendment. Now, I want to be clear. I didn't clip that. I didn't take out any connectors. He said that. They put a liberal judge on, and he'll be reversing the Second Amendment. Which, you know, is kind of... I don't want to put too fine a point on it. I want to use just the right... Oh, yeah, impossible. Impossible. You can't reverse the Second Amendment. What would happen if you reversed the Second Amendment? Would all the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, and booger eaters be standing there with their own guns pointed at themselves? He'll do not another move. He'll do it. He's crazy. Yeah, you get the idea.
And so he said the Second Amendment. So what the his opponents are saying, well, Donald Trump is encouraging people to shoot Hillary. I mean, it's just nonsense.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah,
that's
and Joe
ridiculous.
Biden, they got a Joe Biden.
That's so ridiculous. Unbelievable. I mean, the idea that somewhere out there, there's somebody just goofy enough to waste ammunition on Hillary. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Tell him, Glenda.
And quote, who was talking about guns, and he was making a joke of it. Mm-hmm. But there's no joking in this. They won't let you joke. They won't. And every time.
Yeah, because, you know, it's so funny when people talk about maybe somebody getting shot. Ha! Oh! Yeah. Hi. You know, maybe the... Maybe the Second Amendment people can do something about it. Ha, 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 ha. Because we all heard in the clip, that was the liberal media again. They took out the connectors. In that case, the connector where Trump was standing there going, ha, 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 ha. Just kidding, folks. Just an innocent joke about wanting somebody to shoot my opponent. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, that is a good one. That's a knee slapper. Oh, I tickle myself every time I tell that at the Clavern. Ha, ha.
They're going to twist the word, and I know what it's like. He has my profound sympathy, but these people are profound liars, and they're set up as liars. And, you know, the devil is a liar,
yeah,
and the father of lies, according to the Bible.
And there's such a double...
And the Lord of the flies, and the father of lies. Somebody pass me a snake.
Standard.
Total double standard. I mean, you know, they'll give a break to the Democrats every time and whatever. Well, she really meant this.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because you heard it. You heard her during the convention. And my friends, I will provide a firearm for every American household so that somebody can bust a cap in Donald Trump's ass. Ha, 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 ha. Hear that? That's me, Hillary, laughing. No, really, laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Because, you know, that didn't happen. Wrong button. But the Democrat, you know, when she did that, she got a break, a pass. They gave her a pass, the liberal media did, except for the fact that she didn't do it. No. No. But apparently she doesn't have to. How do I know? Because Julian Assange... Oh, we're learning a lot during this little election season. And we found out that, lo and behold, a guy who was thought to be a great truth teller turns out to be just another right-wing rat fucker. You remember back during the great American Clinton penis chase of the 1990s? When in the fevered imaginings of right-wingers everywhere, a homicidal Hillary, who put Lizzie Borden and or Lucretia Borgia to shame. Remember how they were all convinced that she personally killed Vince Foster, a dear friend? And remember how a sitting member of the House of Representatives, a Republican from Indiana named Dan Burton, said he had incontrovertible proof of Hillary's status as homicidal maniac because he had taken a freedom protector of his very own out into his backyard somewhere in Taliban, Indiana, and blown away several watermelons? Well, Julian Assange has joined that lofty fraternity. He was interviewed by a Dutch TV station. BuzzFeed has the story, in which Julian Assange said, there's a 27-year-old who works for the DNC who was shot in the back, murdered just a few weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the streets in Washington. I'm suggesting that our sources take risks and they become concerned to see things occurring like that. We don't comment on who our sources are. We have to understand how high the stakes are in the U.S. and that our sources face serious risks. That's why they come to us, so we can protect their anonymity. He just implied that Hillary had Seth Rich, a voter outreach coordinator for the DNC, bumped off. He's also trying to misdirect the idea that he plays footsie with Vladimir Putin by suggesting that Seth Rich was the source of the leaked DNC emails. Yeah, I remember when we thought Julian Assange was a good person. Are we over that yet? Because we really ought to be. Dude is a wingnut. Dude has gone on broadcast television recorded programs and admitted that he has more in common with the American right wing than with anything even vaguely related to liberal or progressive thinking or politics. Yeah. But Pat Robertson says, you know, they lie. And you know, Satan makes liberals lie and take out his connector words. No, really. But every day is a great day to be a Christian in Merca. Because Christians are out there working constantly to make life better for us all. There's apparently a website called The Gospel Coalition. Uh-huh. And a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical mama took to The Gospel Coalition to explain what was going through her mind when her precious little white daughter done brung home a black man and she wound up a marrying of him. And she said, all ethnicities are made in the image of God, have one ancestor, and can trace their roots to the same parents, Adam and Eve. As you pray for your daughter to choose well, pray for your eyes to see clearly too. Glenn moved from being a black man to a beloved son when I saw his true identity as an image bearer of God, a brother in Christ, and a fellow heir to God's promises. Could see when she first saw him, it was just, oh my God, she's brought home a black guy. But then she realized that he was in the image of God. Hey, lady, he was a lot closer to the image of the Jesus you worship too, but we won't talk about that because your Jesus is blonde-haired and blue-eyed now, isn't he? Huh? Yeah. And then came the day when Precious Lumpkin and the black feller done went to church with her. One woman in church looked over at Anna and Glenn and gingerly asked me, are they dating? Engaged, I grinned and winked at them. Lady gave a pained smile inside and shook her head. It's just their future children. They have no idea what's ahead of them. I nodded. When Jim and I were married, we had no idea what was ahead of us either. I stopped believing the lie we could control our trials years ago. The white lady with the trials. Yeah. Of course, everybody knows, everybody that understands that the Bible is the literal word of God understands that Glenn there was carrying the sin of Ham, who was one of Noah's sons, that God done turned into a black man, because it wasn't none but white folks on the ark, and he's going to have some way of populating the earth and making sure it ain't all just lily white. Mm-hmm. Christianity, brethren and sistren, a balm, a blessing, a light unto us all. That light was a shining bright in Kansas City, Missouri, Stan. Mm-hmm. Over the past weekend, some folks went and had a bite at Chelly's Cafe, Chelly apostrophe S, Chelly's Cafe. They were waited on by a young man by the name of Eddie Cabrera. And as the group left, they looked at him and said, your tip, it's on the table. And so Eddie Cabrera went over to the table where these fine, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelicals had been a-dining. And they found written on the napkin, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Because, you know, them fine, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding, evangelical Christians, they were defending marriage right there at a table in Chelly's Cafe in Kansas City, Missouri, Stan. Mm-hmm. And then, when it went out on Facebook, and everybody figured out who the shitty little Christian, at least one of the shitty little Christians were, Nisha Martin got hold of Eddie Cabrera because Eddie Cabrera was just reduced to near tears. And Nisha Martin said, I never meant for any of this to happen, honestly. Even though I'm not the one who wrote it, I can't do anything but take full responsibility for it because my credit card was used, and I was with the person who did it. Now, she might have apologized. By the way, you might be interested to know that the entire tab was, what? $84.77, for which Nisha Martin, who apologized for the Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve comment, tipped zero. Not a penny. And let's recall that he works for sub-minimum wages plus tips. And the Christians stiffed him. In the name of Jesus! Let's see. 10% would have been $8.47. 20% would have been $16.94. Or then, if you're a Christian, you can always opt for, you know, zero. Which is no surprise, really, when you consider, that these are my own experiences, you know, people in my community, people who are servers in restaurants, hate, despise, loathe working the lunch shift on Sundays. Because it means that they are not gonna make a dime. Because that's when all the Christians go out to eat, and they've done given all their money to the church, putting it in that big brass plate that goes around while they sing, while they caterwaul some godforsaken hymn. There it is. God's love. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know, Eddie probably could have dealt with that if they just hadn't stiffed him. So that was Western Missouri, West Central Missouri, or West Western Missouri. No, Central West Missouri. Hey, Kansas City. And let's swing back east to Ohio, shall we? Where a woman was being entering a guilty plea to a charge of vandalizing a Planned Parenthood clinic. 71-year-old Rachel A. Jackson had gone to Planned Parenthood on East Main Street, I guess in Columbus, where she walked up in front of the surveillance cameras. Yeah, well, imagine that, a Planned Parenthood having surveillance cameras. And she got her handy-dandy can of spray paint out, and she sprayed, Satan, den of baby killers, God, see all, A-L-L-L-L, Mark 942. Omaha, Omaha, hi! Sorry, no, she didn't add that part, I did. And, when she entered her plea, she said, I believe what the Bible says about the little children. Really? Which part of what the Bible says about the little children? The part where God tells the children of Israel to go and smite and kill all the little children and leave not one of them alive? Or the part where God tells them to go, the children of Israel to go and smite some folks and sell all the little children into slavery? Or the part where the little girl children get set aside to be raped by the temple priests in the name of God?
Or the part where little children who get mouthy with their parents are supposed to be taken outside the city gates and stoned to death? Which part, ma'am? So when it come time for sentencing, she eyeballed the judge, Common Pleas Judge Guy L. Reese, and she said, "Do you go to church?" And the judge responded, "Ma'am, you read Genesis 1, 27 and 28, she said, as her attorney was kind of, come on, Rachel. No, really, Rachel. No, read Genesis 1, 27 and 28. And the judge said, I'll see you on the 29th, ma'am. And that's when the sentencing goes down. And so, even after she spray painted the Planned Parenthood, she went back. Even so, they didn't stick her in the clink because she's, bless her heart, a Christian 71-year-old woman. And they put her on house arrest because she went back to the Planned Parenthood and said she was going to damage or destroy the facility. So they sent her off for a psychological evaluation. And they and the court appointed shrinks found that yes, indeed, she had what the doctors referred to as serious mental illness. But then they said, "Yeah, but she's got a sound enough mind that she can be tried. And she can assist her attorney in her defense." I can just imagine her court-appointed lawyer sitting there going, no, Rachel, really, quit helping. Yeah. So bless his heart, the Common Pleas judge looks at her and says, "Now, no one wants to belittle your religious beliefs, but the Bible also talks about render unto Caesar that which should be rendered unto Caesar, I believe." And she said, "That's right." He said, "All right, so remember all the Bible, not just some of the Bible." Man, you got to handle these religious maniacs with kid gloves because they get special treatment under the Constitution of the United States. Damn. No, come on, Rachel. No. Read the Bible! Yeah. And let's understand, she's not mentally ill. She's a Christian. She believes in invisible beings. She lives in a world where there are angels and demons constantly contesting all around her, where the laws of physics and of the universe itself don't apply. Where the sun... Oh, hello, that's a yellow jacket. Don't want to kill you. It's that time of year. Hi, buddy. Can you hear him yet? He's crawling right over the old RE-20 here. I promise there's nothing you can use in your nest building or take back to the hive mind on the microphone here, pal. Where'd you go? Don't be in my... Oh, there you are. Okay. Yeah. Wonder of God's love. No, she's not crazy. See, in her world, either God or the devil sent that yellow jacket to either torment or teach me or something. Or sting me. Please, Jesus, not the yellow jacket. They hurt. But you get the idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got lots and lots more stuff to go into. Some of it isn't necessarily for prayer meeting, because there's so much other lunacy involved in our world these days. And it'll keep you busy. I mentioned Seth Rich a couple of minutes ago, whose sad death that horrified and broke the hearts of his family, has of course been politicized and turned into a little red paranoia wagon that people like Julian Assange can drag around. Well, bless him, the family has released a statement to Business Insider. The family welcomes any and all information that could lead to the identification of the individuals responsible, and certainly welcomes contributions that could lead to new avenues of investigation, they said. Some are attempting to politicize this horrible tragedy, and in their attempts to do so are actually causing more harm than good and impeding on the ability for law enforcement to properly do their job. For the sake of finding Seth's killer and the sake of giving the family the space they need at this terrible time, they're asking for the public to refrain from pushing unproven and harmful theories about Seth's murder. Well, screw you! Julian Assange has money to raise, baby! Because he wants to have an impact on the American electoral process and drag this country further toward fascism, because he's a right-winger. And nothing is going to get in the way of his desire to do that. The police have repeatedly said that there's absolutely no evidence that connects Seth Rich's death to any work he did with the DNC. You know what he did? His job was to help voters find their polling places. But no, they're not going to leave his death alone. Especially not the people who think that there's some political hay to be made out of this. Because there's no shame in them. No shame at all. Because the larger issue is, of course, trying to pin his death on Hillary Clinton. And next thing you know, they'll be adding another chapter to the Clinton Chronicles. I mean, I'm not crazy about the people, but my God, can we at least critique them from a standpoint of reality and not the paranoid ravings? I mean, God, that Larry Klayman creep has filed suit against Hillary Clinton on behalf of the parents of the Benghazi victims, claiming that she killed them because email. Just, wow! But it's just another day. In the meantime, I'm given a geographic note. Carol Baker tells me, Kansas City is considered West Central Missouri, and it's rife with Christian assholes. Well, that sorts that out. So here endeth the lesson. And we'll take a little break. Come back with your calls. Got one waiting. Please don't hang up. We'll just take a break and come back. Stress lines open. Area code 304-663-4676. 304-663-4676. Yeah, I know, Jeremy. Absolutely. The murder of Vince Foster was proven beyond an unreasonable doubt by shooting watermelons. Absolutely. All right, yeah, break time. This is listener-supported conversation radio on Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Thank you very kindly, Paul, for helping out with the fundraising. So we're down around $150 to go now. Thank you very kindly, Paul, and thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for transmitting to us the kind seed faith offering from our listeners in Mexico. Thank you. Really, seriously, take a break. I'm Bob. Carol Baker said, thanks for the song, Kansas City, home of the heterosexuals. And I said, no, them's the Beatles. Which it was. Yeah. Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. And just a little interlude there to mark a break point. Note coming in from Ray in Florida Stan. Why is God always broke? You can trust God absolutely. He answers all prayers except when it comes to money. God needs all your money. Sure, you can pretend to follow his word while kicking humanity in the face, but goddammit, you better pay. Why does God need money or a starship? Who knows? These are mysteries not meant to be known. And tucked away in there, you see, was our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening at 7:14 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you, Ray. Thank you very kindly. And note from Sylvia. Subject line, Trump news. The way Trump is going, maybe he'll be known as Der Fuhrer, F-U-R-O-R. Ah, I see what you did there, in view of his constantly putting his foot in his mouth. I didn't mention the name of the mustachioed German dictator, so I'm not infringing on the pool. You guys are good. Y'all are good. Yep, Not making it easy on Brother Deacon Gerald, who, by the way, said, congregation needs to keep a mashing that PayPal button. Absolutely. I will lock the doors. Because right now is about the time all that iced tea starts kicking in. You know, it is a diuretic. Yep. Hey, let's run over to the Skype line. By Jove, I think we have, dare I hope it, I think we have Tracy. Is that you, Tracy?
Hey.
Hey. First, let me say, how's Jan doing?
She's doing good. I brought her home today, and she's bitching and complaining, so that means she's okay.
Oh, well, love.
The hip replacement went well. As a matter of fact, she's excited because apparently the bandage that her doctor put on since it's not one of those that drain, is waterproof, so that means she can take a shower. I just have to go buy a shower seat so she can take a shower. She's quite happy about that.
You know, it's one reprioritizes in those circumstances, and little things become very, 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 very big pleasures.
Very big. Yes. I mean, it's those things, because I know when I took my first shower after having surgery, I'm like, it was the most wonderful. It's like, oh my God, I'm taking a shower. It's beautiful. It was like, it almost brings tears to your eyes. I mean, like you said, it's those little things that we take for granted every day. You know, just the ability for her just to be able to pull up her pants and her socks. You know, they checked her out of the hospital with a walker, a cane she already had. A reacher and this really hellified long shoehorn and a couple of other things that I have to read about. But here's the stupid thing. They did not include a commode. And I'm like, wait. So you're sending her home with a walker, but you don't send home like a commode or something to adjust the toilet, which is just the stupidest thing. It's just a difference in insurance. Because when I got out of the hospital, I had all that stuff, plus a commode, the walker, all that stuff. I had physical therapy at my house every single day, blah, blah, blah. But she has Kaiser. She is going to have physical therapy, but, you know, we have to. My physical therapy appointment was set up before I even left the hospital when I had my brain surgery. Hers, we have to wait until, here's the stupidity. Well, if you don't hear from us by Friday, call Monday. Excuse me, what?
Best healthcare system on the planet.
it's like, really? 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 Seriously? Seriously? Okay, great. Fine. No problem.
Recommendations coming in from the chat room. Snort suggests get her Velcro shoes and Velcro pants, too, for the time being.
Yes. There's the slip-ons and Velcro. They actually did include like a kind of a Velcro-like shoelaces. She's already decided after getting in and out the car this afternoon, she's not leaving the house.
For a while. You can't let her get all agoraphobic.
Oh, no. She, you know, she's fine. It's getting in and out the car. No, as a matter of fact, her therapist, her physical therapist at the hospital says she must, we're going to have to start, walking at least 10 minutes twice a day, in the mornings and in the evenings, which is fine because we both need to start moving. They've given
her especially exercise. Especially with winter coming on there in Southern California. That's a joke.
You know what? Shut up. You know, that's just Matt. You know, that is so beneath you. Why are you going to be so nasty, man? It's not my fault I live in California.
It's not your fault you live in paradise.
It's not my fault that we live,
you just walk down to the taco truck.
Yes. As a matter of, oh, my God. See, now we're going to, I didn't mean to start on the, oh, before I forget, let me start off, I meant to start the conversation off with a $50 challenge. So there's that.
Oh,
so
okay.
Let's go,
awesome.
So let's go into the
What shall we call it, Tracy?
Let's see. Today is prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's see.
Tracy's Healing Hands of Faith $50 prayer meeting Wednesday challenge.
Sounds like it.
Well, that would be awesome because that would take us down to because we just got a brand new subscriber in Snork, and thank you very kindly, Snork. And brand new subscriber in our buddy Jim down in Louisiana, Stan. And so with your $50 challenge, if it gets met, that would mean that we've got about $36.50 to go for fundraising on the evening, which would be awesome.
Nice.
So, but folks have to meet Tracy's challenge to get there. Tracy's Healing Hands of Faith Prayer Meeting Wednesday Challenge.
Exactly. So no, she's okay. As a matter of fact, I had to escape the house for a little while because so one of our friends came over and she's sitting with her and Kimba. I had to do the grocery shopping. So I said, you know what? Let me call some of my favorite people of all time because I needed that. I've been watching, I've been really consumed with my wife's surgery and her recovery, so I haven't really been paying attention to the news other than the fact I was actually going to call in yesterday, but my phone started tripping, so I didn't get a chance to call, but I was listening.
Okay, so I'm curious. What kind of phone do you use?
It's my iPhone.
Yeah, I was wondering because there's been much eye bizarreness lately.
Okay. Well, yeah, because it's just like really, and then on top of the fact, I have been trying desperately to get into the chat room, and I try to get into it on Jan's PC because I know I used to be able to get into the chat room with no issue on my Mac, and I can't. So I tried Jan's PC because since she wasn't home, I can mess with it because I can't touch her computer when she is at home.
Ooh. I mean, there's love and there's love.
There's love, and so I'm like, damn it! So I couldn't do it yesterday. So I'm like, well, you know what? When she said, when my friend. Our friend got there today. I'm like, ooh, it's almost 3:00. I could go and sit in my car for a little while under the guise that I'm going to the store. Because it's not a guise. I'm actually going to the store. But I could just take a little longer than I possibly need to. But I don't know. Have you ever dealt with somebody that's been, she's just come out the hospital and you have to take care of them? And they don't like being taken care of, but then they're incredibly needy. So it's one of those things. It's like I kind of feel like Faye Dunaway in Chinatown. She's my sister. She's my daughter.
Because that's one of the great L moments in American cinema. L.
Yeah. So it's just like everything is coming at you at the same time, and because like,
then you got to extrapolate you got to extrapolate old John Huston rutting away on Mayeller.
Yes, but then you realize, see those things that you don't realize when you watch a movie for the first time because that was 70 whatever, so we were both rather young when the movie came out, or we probably were too young to actually watch it. I don't remember, but then as you're older, you realize, oh my God, fucking Roman Polanski directed that movie.
And it was a great movie.
It was a great movie, but then you think about who Roman Polanski is.
Well, sure, but I mean, that's like watching That's like watching Annie Hall and remembering who Woody Allen is.
I just watched. It's so funny that you said that. I just watched Annie Hall. I just
not for the right first time.
Oh God, no.
Okay.
No, I'm just old enough now to really appreciate it. But it was
the cocaine scene. The cocaine scene.
No, the lobster. The lobster scene. Oh, maybe if you put some drama, you know, on the other side, it'll come out on the other side. But the cocaine scene. But just seeing who was in the movie, just seeing Jeff Goldblum and Christopher Walken.
Yeah, little bitty babies.
Yes. I mean, what were they, 5? Because it was so funny because it came on Turner Classic Movies. And which meant no commercials. So they had a whole block of movies Monday. Annie Hall, American in Paris, On the Waterfront. Just a whole bunch of great movies that I just kind of gorged myself on. And so I'm watching Annie Hall, and I'm like, holy fuck, that's Christopher Walken. Holy crap, that's Jeff Goldblum. And
in knee pants. You know,
yes.
Hey, speaking of which, you said American in Paris. Have you seen Midnight in Paris?
Never heard of it. Wait, no, never heard of it.
Woody Allen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, where one of the Wilsons gets transported back in time to Paris of the the Paris of the expatriate 20s and Hemingway and Fitzgerald and all of that. I watched it, and it was like, okay, this is cute. You know what was funny?
Yeah.
Ferg watched it.
Oh.
And got all misty-eyed.
Really? Okay, like you said, all that aside, he's a brilliant director. One of my favorite movies that he did was Radio Days.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the last time I did see Annie Hall when it first came out, and what's even greater, was much really more awesome, was watching it as an adult and the scenes that he shot in their life. And like, you know, the stuff that was, that's how that stuff that was there isn't there, and some of the stuff is still there. I was like, oh my God, that it's great. I like Woody Allen, but he's a fucking pedophile. No ands, ifs, and buts about it. And speaking of which, he was amazing. Malcolm Jamal Warner, you know, came out and said, you know, I don't know whether or not Bill Cosby did what he said, but, you know, you got proof about Woody Allen and Roman Polanski, and you guys are still singing their praises. You know?
Well, if that's the damn standard, Tracy, then I can say that Bill Cosby made me laugh my ass off a whole lot through a lot of my life.
Look, Bill Cosby, you're watching the Cosby Show. Do you know what that did for people that look like me?
Oh, middle class norming? Absolutely.
You know?
I'll say this and probably get myself in trouble. Maybe you can absolve me or something. It always bothered me that you had shows like Good Times and Sanford and Son.
Mm-hmm.
And the set design was dingy.
Grimy,
kind of broke down, broke ass.
Broke ass. I mean, look at, okay, Sanford and Son. Just so happens, I watched it the other day. TV One has it in rerun. And, you know, watching Sanford and Son, because I haven't watched Sanford and Son in a million years, okay? But watching it through the lens of who I am now, and that house was a pigsty. There was trash everywhere. I mean, yes, I know it's a junkyard, but there was the junk migrated into the house. You know what I'm saying? And it just looks so, you know, how could anybody, let's just say that if anybody came into that house now, the health department would have been called. You know, they would have been considered hoarders. If there were kids in that house, they would have been removed. And then let's look at good times. You have, let's see, one, two, three, let's see, Michael, JJ, why can't I think of the girl's name? James in Florida, five folks in a two-bedroom apartment. And then when, why can't I think of the sister's name? And then when she got married, they had another, you know, that's another person in the house.
Yeah, and you'll notice they moved them in and not out. It reminds me of that statement I saw the other day. Who was it that said it? During the during the Reagan era, they blamed black mothers for staying home and taking care of their children, and blamed white mothers for going to work.
Right.
And it wasn't a race thing or an ethnic thing. It was a gender thing. It was a can't win.
Your rant yesterday was great.
Well, thank you.
You know, it was just, you know, how, I mean, and it was so, like you said, we've talked about this before. That's the only reason why I was kind of calling yesterday. It's because, you know, like you said, the Southern strategy, the long con that the Republicans have forced it on this country since 1970.
And it's still working.
And it's still working.
And it spread, Tracy, because that was the Southern strategy. You know, that wasn't the Missouri strategy or the Idaho strategy
or the
Arizona strategy. But it, by God, is now.
It is now. It's the United States strategy. We are, you know, I was listening to, you know, when you talk about, where you're saying how people might go, how can this happen, about Trump and the Second Amendment bullshit rant yesterday or whenever that was. And people are so like, you know, I'm so tired of bitches clutching their pearls, acting like they don't know how and why this happened. But then again, it's that privilege thing, you know, because it's like when people like you and I who see this shit on a regular basis, and we know, we hear the, you know, the dog whistle politics, we hear and see, you know, how somebody like Trump is the president. I mean, that, oh God, did I say that? Oh, wash my mouth out. Somebody give me some hydrogen peroxide. Oh my God, I just said Trump is president. Holy God, Mother Jesus. Oh my God. Sorry. Oh God. Oh, I almost felt sick when I said that. How he could be running for president. And everybody's just shocked and dismayed about
and
how,
of course,
how
yeah,
happen.
Well, okay, so today the news cycle has been consumed with people. And, you know, the for-profit media make me sick sometimes. Because they implicitly, instead of challenging him and saying, you know, why would you do that? Well, of course, he went to a friendly. He went to the life support system for a haircut, the Hannity job. So the Hannity job would say, and what he did was, so you weren't advocating violence, were you? I mean, you were just saying, it was a 45-second leading question. Well, of course, I mean, give me a break, the filthy media. You know, that's how he responds.
And nobody called, and I think you and I both are just that, we just, you know, palm to our heads, like,
We've spent the day with it. So get the Speaker of the House, third in line to the presidency, right?
Oh.
Eddie Munster, Paul Ryan, said it was a bad joke. It was a joke gone bad. That's how he described it. A joke gone bad.
I call it a terrorist threat. Charge him with whatever you can charge him with, because the Secret Service should be. Did you say this yesterday? Why are they not, you know, having a conversation with him?
Well, but see, there's a problem, Tracy.
Or is that free speech day?
There's a problem here. Ian Millhiser highlighted it yesterday. He's the justice editor over at Think Progress. There's a case out of American history some years back It was more than 50 years ago when a Klansman, speaking at a Klan rally, they all had their robes, the cross was merrily burning, and Clarence Brandenburg said, "We're not a revengeant organization, but if our president, our Congress, our Supreme Court continues to suppress the white Caucasian race, it's possible there might have to be some revengeance taken."
Oh.
Pretty clear, isn't it?
That's a credible threat.
Coming from the Klan? Yes.
Yes.
So they charged him. He was charged with a crime. And he took it all the way to the Supreme Court.
Oh.
It happened in Ohio. How about that?
How long ago was this?
This is more than 50 years ago.
Okay, color me surprised, fucking Ohio.
And so they had a statute in Ohio that made it illegal for people to, quote, advocate or teach the duty, necessity, or propriety of violence as a means of accomplishing industrial or political reform. In other words, it was a statute that was originally aimed at workers.
Right.
Okay. So it goes up to the Supreme Court of the United States, and the Supreme Court rules unanimously, okay, all nine justices. The constitutional guarantees of free speech and free press do not permit a state to forbid or proscribe advocacy of the use of force or of law violation, except where such advocacy is directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action. So, thus, the Klansman, Charles Brandenburg, walked free.
And, you know, see,
and thus,
my issues.
Donald Trump gets
so
to do this.
We'll walk free. And see, here's, and you know, at what point? I'm all for freedom of speech, you know, and all that. But when is it? When do we start having? You know, when I say, well, it's freedom of speech, yes, but you still may have to suffer the consequences of what you're saying. But the problem is, no one suffers any consequences.
Well, that's right. And today on CBS This Morning, they had a hacker on who showed exactly how easy it is to hack into a video game voting machine. When I saw the clip, I thought, by God, somewhere Brad Friedman is saying, I am vindicated. But, you know, I mean, so what, right? Because there's no remedy for it. A trial court had struck down Scott Walker's voter suppression law, and today a three-judge panel of the circuit court said no, we're gonna put a stay on that. That's not gonna count. And so it is more likely that voter suppression will remain a thing in Wisconsin.
And this is when I start, you know, you start hitting your head up against the steering wheel. I'm not driving, I'm parked. But is when you sit back, because, you know, even as much as we know about when, you know, it tickles me whenever Donald Trump says, well, if I don't win, the election is rigged. It's like, motherfucker, my whole life is rigged. Okay, so when white people start getting that righteous indignation about how things aren't going their way and they have their temper tantrums, I'm like, gee, willikers, dude, just welcome to my world. There was a funny cartoon somebody posted. It's the line of Olympic swimmers in line getting ready to, you know, jump into the water. And there's Donald Trump with his water balloons on or whatever, saying, if I don't win this race, it's rigged.
And Roger Stone saying there will be blood in the streets.
Right, right, right. When do we hold people accountable? When is it hate speech? When is it that people cannot just say whatever the fuck they want to say? Because, I mean, look, you just had people losing their shit over Gabby Douglas not saluting the flag. You know, why should she...
Right, and compare this. I mean, there are so many double standards that are banging around out there relative to the First Amendment. Compare this with something that happened a few years ago. Now, here you've got a presidential candidate arguably suggesting that somebody needed to start God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals need to start squeezing off a few rounds at a nominee for the presidency. But on the other hand, remember the smart-ass teenager from a few years back who held up a sign that said, "Bong Hits for Jesus"? Remember the Bong Hits for Jesus case?
No, that would have been
Yeah,
awesome.
The expulsion of that child from school was upheld.
So he just talked about bong hits, you know, just getting high.
Bong hits for bong hits for a person who isn't here, okay? I'm going to try to avoid stepping on toes. Bong hits for a person who is not around to do a bong hit.
Right, right.
Yeah, that you know, merited the quashing of his free speech.
But you can threaten, have, you know, say, you know, I don't know about you Second Amendment guys, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. Again, I can't even call him a man or a person. This, I don't know, amoeba, like, or thing, is saying, he's just saying whatever the fuck he wants to say. And this is it's exhausting listening to him. And I, like I said, I was pretty much this weekend, well, the last few days, I forget that I have Hulu, and I didn't realize that, every episode, every season from Law and Order is on Hulu. And so I just started working my way backwards.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, so I've been watching, I just been binge watching stuff. And, you know, every so often, and I come out of my haze and in time to watch, the American women kick ass in gymnastics. So that's about what are the odds?
They did do that.
They kicked.
Did you see that the diving pool turned green, swamp water green?
Yes, yes. Oh God!
And bless the competitors' hearts. Well, I came this far. I'm going to go ahead and jump into that soup.
Right. It's like, you know. But did you watch the shit? I didn't see. This is how much I pay attention to the Olympics. I mean, there's only like a couple of things that I care about. Gymnastics and track and field. I just so happened to catch, I didn't even know there was such a thing as synchronized diving. That shit is awesome.
Yeah, it is kind of neat. And, I mean, and the American women's fencing competitor, the first woman ever to compete as an American woman to compete in a hijab.
Right. How is she doing? Because see, this is what sucks. I didn't hear about her until later on. I'm like, God damn it, I would have loved to have watched her. So I got to go. Has she competed yet? Or has...
I don't know. I don't know.
And then did you hear there was a sister from, I think she was from Jamaica, the first woman of color, a black woman to win a world title in swimming?
No.
Yes.
All the noise has kind of been about Michael Phelps.
Right, whatever, Rich. You know, see, this is how I'm watching. So, you know me, and I have to always bring in my race car. But I'm watching Gabby Douglas and Simone Biles, and watching those two. And I'm watching, you know, the sisters and all these other, you know, there was a couple of sisters actually from actual sisters that are probably biracial from Great Britain that were on the Great Britain's gymnastics team. And I'm just watching them, and I'm thinking to myself, it's not that black people can't do these sports. It's just that we don't have the opportunity.
Well, right. It's a matter of opportunity.
I sit there and think about how because I swim barely, and I went to a white school. I just didn't fuck with it. Well, actually, my high school did not have a pool. The swim team had to go. They had to do their swimming at the local gym. I think it was the Bally's at the time. But I just think about, because black people, you know, I'm sorry, if we have the opportunity, we could do, anybody that has the opportunity can do a great thing. But I was just thinking about, you know, if there were swimming pools at some of these black schools, if they had the gym, you know, a gymnastics program, and all these things that would lay these kids out of something other than what they are expected. You know, everybody expects for the Olympics the U.S. team to have the track and field to be mostly African American. I'm sorry, I keep saying that, black people, or basketball. But those are basically the only two. When you think of the Olympics, track and field and basketball. That's about it when you think about black people, right?
Well, I mean, Olympic sports wise, yeah. I mean, for all the effort and for all the heroics displayed by people like Jackie Robinson, black baseball players.
Is baseball in the Olympics as well?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I forgot about that because I forgot. That shows you how much I care. I pay attention to baseball.
It's a real estate thing, Tracy. People can run anywhere.
Anywhere.
And it doesn't cost a whole. It doesn't cost a whole bunch of money to put up a hoop or two.
Nope.
And a little spray paint for the keys.
Exactly.
There's dugouts and fences and lawns, the grass to be cut and infields to be groomed. And well, I mean, we still do that in, you know, nice white neighborhoods.
Right. And I just think about, you know, because like some more, that girl, I just love watching her. I mean, was she like 4 foot nothing, 4 foot eight?
There was a good article over at Think Progress a few days ago about because one of the nice things about the American women's gymnastics team is that it looks like America.
Three women of color, three.
There was a great article about a woman who is a gymnastics coach who was one of the first black girls to get into gymnastics, and it broke her family trying to keep her in, and until she eventually had to just quit at the age of 17.
Right.
And then of course, you know, there are there's a reason that female figure skaters and on the Olympic level and especially female gymnasts, I mean, I want to make sure that I don't put my foot in my mouth, but you got to, you know, you're in constant war with puberty.
Yes.
I
look at those girls, they're not developed. You know, that's the thing about female athletes. Like you said, they're constantly, I look at their bodies and I'm like, oh my God. They're grown women, but they have the bodies of pre-progressing girls.
And
unfortunately, that's why a lot of pedophiles.
And I mean, no matter how much money mommy and daddy spend, no matter what the ethnicity, puberty can kick a girl right out of any hopes of reaching the rarefied heights of the sport.
You got to be a certain height. You cannot be,
It's not, and it's not something you could do for a couple of hours after school. That's one of the things that worries me about this. Is that, you know, when we're talking about children competing on the Olympic level, we're talking about children who spend more time practicing at their sport than they do
being a kid.
Being a kid or learning anything.
Well, I look at, you guys know I drive Will back and forth. We got one week, he's improved with school. His parents pay for his tutoring and stuff like that. But there were times, practice didn't start until 9 o'clock at night on a school night. You know, we're getting him, I'm getting him back to his dormitory or whatever at midnight on a school night.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of these kids are homeschooled.
And,
supposedly
there are rules, but, we're talking about the Olympics, so.
We're talking about the fucking Olympics. They only come around every 4 years. There's how many thousands, tens of thousands of kids, people trying to compete for, however many spots there are on any particular team. And just, the money. I just think about how much I get, just me and Alex, what we get paid just to take Will. That's not including, his gear. The tournament, all the stuff that goes into this. And he's a damn good hockey player, actually. But it's just like, I watched, they were talking about Simone and how she's homeschooled, which means she'll never go to a prom. And now that she is who she, she has just reached this level already at, and what is she, just now 19? She's still a kid. And she will never, there's certain things. I look back on my life, I didn't really have a great childhood, but there were those moments that it was great because I was allowed to be a kid, but I didn't have that many moments. And that was just me, just growing up in the hood. But I just think of, these kids that the parents put so much pressure on them. I can't even imagine that. I'm watching it last night, I think it was taped the night before.
But understand, it's soccer.
Soccer?
It's baseball. It's baseball. It's hockey. But the common denominator in all of these things is that the benefits inure to the people who have the means,
right?
And of course, ESPN, CBS, NBC, whatever—they're always good for a feel-good human interest story. Whenever they can find some poor kid who has lucked into—and I don't mean to take anything away—some program that tries to identify underserved talent. It reminds me of Lebowski's urban overachievers in The Big Lebowski. Another movie reference. Sorry.
It's okay. It's an awesome movie.
Oh, good news! Good news! Good news! 20 out of your $50 challenge has been met. Thanks very kindly to Ray, who started a brand new subscription, by the way. And thank you very kindly to Cletus of Steve, Karen, and Cletus. Cletus went out into the yard and dug up some of her milk bone money. She's a good girl. She's Cletus. She's a sweet thing. She's a good Cletus.
Yeah. Simba's not understanding why she can't jump on Jan. She's like, I'm not understanding this. I haven't seen my mommy in 3 days. And what do you mean I can't jump all over her? Yeah.
Well, there's this thing that happens in the night. That's not gross. Where Mushu, the Siamese cat, actually she's a Thai, likes to watch over Agnes and me as we sleep, and I do this thing in my sleep. But again, perverts, quit it. My father, I saw it with my father too. He would involuntarily wag his toes in his sleep. All four toes on one foot, then all four toes on the other. I don't know if it's genetic, but I do it too. And so I'll just be dropping down into REM sleep when Mushu will decide it's time to kill my toes.
Yes.
And she leaps from about 4 feet up. And I mean, I come up out of that bed. Oh, dude, Jesus, what is happening?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's so adorable. She's so adorable. And then she'll walk the rest of, because I sleep on my side, she'll walk the rest of the way up me and get about long about my right bicep and just start tenderizing me with those claws. And I'm going, love you. Oh, love you so much. Don't want to throw you out. Please stop it now.
It's like that old Warner Brothers cartoon with the, was it a bulldog?
Exactly. The bulldog with the little kitten.
And the little kitten.
And I make the same faces.
You know, then she gets comfortable and it's like, okay. Okay.
And then I never quite go back to sleep because I want to make sure that I don't disturb her because I really don't want her to have to readjust.
And that's with Kimba, and she's getting huge. And so I, you know, she's a puppy, but she's not a puppy,
no.
You know, as far as her size is concerned. And she does it. Like this morning when I brought Jan home and I'm trying to get her, I took her out the kennel, which she really hates. And I'm like, I'm trying to get her the leash on her so I can at least control her. And of course she got all excited and she tripped me and I'm like, Oh God, I don't know, I was trying this morning, or afternoon rather, when I was on my way to pick up Jan, all these things are racing through my head. It's like, I had to take care of her, I had to take care of Kimba, I had to take care of me, because I'm still having my issues with my feet and my ankles, and so it's like, I'm like, woof off, calm your ass down, bitches, you'll be fine. And then I get home and the damn dog trips me and I'm like, I'm not old enough to be worried like this. I'm only 50 for goodness sake. But I know it'll be fine, but it's just, ooh. You know, I forgot, we almost went to food porn, so I digress.
Yes.
We were talking about the taco trucks.
Uh-huh.
So, because I haven't really spoken to you since my birthday party. Huge success, huge. I think I did talk to you. Oh, yes, because I said about we went to the local Hispanic market for Vallarta, and that's where I got my birthday cake. We got this chicken is already marinated. Well, so before the surgery, you know, Jan has been, just her appetite has been, you know, limited at best. So, but I wanted to have her have something that was really good before she went into surgery. Monday. So I went to Vallarta and I got the chicken again along with carne asada. And so I got the carne asada the chicken as well. Of course, and they have a hot food section. So I got, you know, the homemade refried beans and, you know, the Mexican rice. And they make the tortillas right there.
Ugh.
They make tortillas.
They press them out. They press them out and throw them on the. Oh my.
Mhm. And so we got corn and flour tortillas, and freshly made guacamole, freshly made pico de gallo, and horchata. So we just did the whole. Oh, and crema mexicana, which, you know, is their sour cream.
Oh yes.
And,
oh yes. Yes.
Their special cheese. And so, yeah, a good time was had by all. So that was, you know, but of course I threw all that on the grill. Well, the meat on my beautiful grill. So it's, you know, we're grilling Sunday and we have, I think I told you that we have neighbors that I'm pretty sure at some point, those of you who watch Cops and you see something happening in Encino, and a bunch of crazy little redneck hillbilly white people coming out of their house, those will be my neighbors. So we had the grill going Sunday, and it popped over. And he said, well, can you move your grill? Because, you know, it's just, that's just, and I didn't say anything because Alex wouldn't let me. And we moved the grill. And then I started thinking about it. Because I'm like, fuck you. I have my backyard, you know, that's what backyards are for, right? Grilling.
Well,
and
yes.
If I, they're like, because he said, well, then he has to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And what does that have to do with me grilling? Because the smell.
Well, by the way, I have bad news for you.
What?
I regret to inform you that nowhere in California is to be found a package of Kaneka sausage.
What kind of who sausage?
Kaneka sausage from Evergreen, Alabama.
What is that?
I've been babbling about it for 2 weeks now because my family brought some to me from Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you drive past Evergreen, Alabama on I-65, you can smell the hickory smoke.
I hear Alabama,
wild.
I just think of lynching, so I really don't think of anything good.
Yeah, so, I don't care. Andouille, kielbasa, nothing touches this stuff. It's amazing, and sorry, it's
so.
Not,
is this something that can be put on dry ice and shipped to California?
It can be. I would wait till the winter months. They'll only ship overnight, so it's a little pricey. But they've got like a sausage pack they ship frozen in a styrofoam cooler. It's like $70, and you get all their sausages and stuff. But don't do it, Tracy. Tracy, don't do it.
Because I'll become an addict.
You will never be. You'll walk through Ralph's and you'll go, oh, really, please.
Oh, no. Oh, really. Well, you know what? At Vallarta, they make, you know, they had this, their own sausage and something that was, it wasn't quite chorizo, but kind of like chorizo. And it was really good. I mean, the good thing is, even if we don't have exactly what you're talking about, I guarantee you, if I go to some ethnic market, and I hate saying that word, ethnic. It just sounds like something somebody from Bel Air would, you know, some white woman from Bel Air would say, oh, yes, let's get the, I want to be ethnic market. But I'm pretty sure I could find something pretty damn good because we have, you know, we got Greek markets out here, Portuguese markets out here, like I said, Hispanic markets out here. There's just such a, what is it, plethora of different kinds of food that we, you know, we don't go on Watson, but then again, there's still the issues with barbecue out here. Oh, you know what? I think you got on my case once, and I meant to ask you.
Oh, I got on your case
barbecuing.
Now. What? Wait, stop. Well, what?
No. You corrected me because I said something. I said we're barbecuing. You said no, you're grilling.
You're grilling.
And I meant to ask you what is the difference.
Well, you're grilling when you're throwing like sausages or weenies or hamburgers or whatever over open coals. That's grilling.
Okay.
Barbecuing is the slow process of dealing with big, usually tougher cuts of meat that one has to cook low and slow for a long time, and then it winds up being meat candy.
Okay.
You know, tender, okay. Juicy, and wonderful. People will. I mean, I used to do all my smoking in the front yard, and people would stop and ask me if they could buy some. Just from the smell of the
hickory. Yeah. Well, like when I barbecue, like when I used to barbecue in our apartment building, you know, people would stop. You know, the neighbors was like, "So, you know, if I bring the meat, will you do it?" I'm like, "No."
See, I'm downright red-assed about Kaneka, because see, you can get Kaneka in New Hampshire, you can get it in Cleveland, you can get it all over Detroit, Michigan. You can get it in Kentucky.
It in Alabama.
You can get it all over Kansas. You can get it in Tallahassee and Illinois. You can get it in Tennessee, Kentucky, Stan. You can't get it in West Virginia. So I'm on a mission, Tracy. And if you just, it's C-O-N-E-C-U-H. If you just go to KonecaSausage.com and look at this stuff.
Spell that again.
C-O-N-E-C-U-H, sausage.com. You'll see it doesn't look like anything you've ever seen before. The casings are they're like natural lamb casings, so when you put them on the grill, and it's not real greasy sausage either. But when you put it on the grill and it gets a little stripy, and you go to bite it, it snaps.
It
comes in original Cajun. And spicy hot.
Okay, spell it one more time because I forget that I had Google. Spell it one more time.
C O N E C U H.
C O N E C U H.
And the website is KonecaSausage.com.
Look, it just came up, Koneca.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the internet.
And let's see, they've got a hickory smoked turkey assortment gift box, the hickory smoked bacon assortment gift box. The 12-pound assortment box.
Bacon, smoked turkey, gift box assortment, seasoning, and accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas week, we will ship only Monday, 12/21. New Year's week, we will ship Monday, 12/28. Office and gift shop are closed for Christmas beginning 12/24. Okay.
Yeah, you get 12 pounds for $68, and then however much whatever overnight shipping is for 12 pounds, which I'm sure ain't cheap.
No, can't be. That sounds like something when I have a serious barbecue that I'm like, okay, I heard he's amazing sausage, but they're only from Alabama.
Yeah, and see, the neat thing is you put it on the grill, and then if you've got like the you know gas burner off to the side, you can get a skillet, a little bit of olive oil, some sliced up onions and green peppers, mushrooms maybe, and you know you saute those real pretty like. And just put it on you want a really nice, nice roll for it. But
you got to have a nice Kaiser roll. You got to have a nice
sauce. More like a hoagie.
A hoagie.
And
right.
Put that and maybe a little cheese and man. No, people will go, Tracy, where did you get that? And you'll say,
well, the other day, I grilled some sausage, bratwurst. And we do have a side burner on the grill. But I didn't feel like dealing with it, so I got one of those, those skillets or whatever, the pans for the grill that has the holes in them.
Yep.
And I just cut up some peppers and some onions and stuff, and basically did what you're talking about. And yeah, and what I also did, when I first started cooking the sausage, I started the grilling with the sausage in that pan as well, so it had this. You got the mix of the smoke and all that with the peppers and the onions and stuff like that. Oh, and I threw in some mushrooms just for good measure as well.
Well, I had to bring it up when we were talking because I wanted to, I just plant the seed of an idea.
I'm going to be home basically. I'm taking the next couple of weeks off because I need to be home with my wife. But it's exhausting. She's not like she's an invalid or something, but it kind of gives me that idea of of why we need to start, get healthy and lose weight. Because I'm a nice person, but I'm not a nice person. Does that make sense?
I understand completely.
I have empathy, and I love my fellow man, and I want to do as much as I can for them. But I'm not because I was like watching the nurses while Jan was in the hospital, and I looked at the kind of nurse that I would be. I could do patient care for a little while, but mostly I would do best with administration. And like being an advocate, I would be a hell of an advocate. I get into somebody's ass, if I see somebody doing somebody dirty, I can advocate the hell out of people, out of shit. But as far as that one on one, but then again, I was watching it and I didn't see a lot of that. I didn't see the kind of patient care from, like, when my mom was a nurse. And even when I thought about being a nurse 1,000 years ago. You know, I don't see that caring. I don't see, everything is so, like, perfunctory. Is that the word?
I think that's one. Yes, definitely.
It's just, there's nothing, I don't feel that, you know, that touch that people used to, that nurses were famous for. You know, because I see them acting more like doctors than nurses, you know, just come in, check, and then they're out. And being in the hospital, you've been in the hospital, Bob, that's not, it is, first of all, it's almost like you digress. You can't control anything, especially like if you're on bed rest, you got to wait for somebody to come and help you to the bathroom, wipe your ass, you know, and all these things that you're used to doing. But then you have to.
Yeah, in sickness or in health, baby.
Right. I am aware. Look, now, that's why I'm hiding here right now. But I know it's sickness and health. I know that. I just know that I really need to finish school and figure out what I'm going to do so I can know that I'm making at least somewhere in the six figures so I can hire a nurse. What? Why did you get quiet on me?
I'm listening. I'm just listening here.
Because it's like, I know me. I can only do so much before. Even my mother, people know me all so well. My mother sent me this thing. I put it on my Facebook page, but it was just, I'm like, when your own mother sends you this picture, it says, I'm like, gee, thanks, Mom. There's a picture of a woman drinking, looks like, you know, taking one back, a big little bottle of booze. God, grant me the strength to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wonderful and devoted friends who will post my bill when I finally snap.
Bingo.
So, you know, that's why
you keep us all on speed dial.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, you got
offers coming in here. Marty just wrote and said, how about if we bring Tracy the meat, give her half of it and some cash, would she grill it? You don't want anybody. Damn it, we just did this, Marty. You know, anybody can grill a hamburger or a weenie. You want her to smoke it.
Well, trust me.
Barbecue, baby, barbecue. And the other big part of barbecuing is that you got to make your own sauce.
Oh, God, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. As a matter of fact, I have been working on perfecting, I'm working with something, it's with brown sugar molasses and like a tomato kind of base with honey and, you know, fresh, you know, ground pepper, kosher salt. And it's almost there. It's because I like savory and sweet. So it's almost there. Not quite. I figure by the time I really get it down will be the day that I go get my smoker.
Well, I'm saving up at some point in time. I hope. I don't know how. I went and did some grill porn. I found a place in Beckley that carries the big green egg. And I went in and I looked at the price on that thing and I went, ah!
I saw one, I think it's the knockoff. It's not the
Oh, you saw the char griller acorn?
Yes, I think so. Because char grillers who we got are
yeah, I mean that's what I'm saving up. That's what I'm going to be
like
saving
$250
up for.
$250, right?
Yeah, $275, something like that.
That's our next thing. Well, there's a progression of what's, you know, most important. I want to really work on my front yard because it looks like, you know, horrible. But I'm so much rather spend money on a smoker. Because, like I said, I showed Alex, because I was showing him pictures, because I was thinking about getting the side thingy for a grill, and you talked me out of it. She's like, no, just get your own step, just get a standalone smoker. So I left that alone, and so now we're just going to look for a standalone smoker. And I showed Alex, and there was a rump roast, and he just started, I thought he started to cry. It was just teary, because it was a pool, you know, they did it with, and they got the forks that you use for pulled pork. And I don't really, I'm not a big, huge fan of pork, but.
Oh, no, when it's right, you're a fan.
But, no, but like you said, when it's right, you're a fan, you know, so. Yeah, and all that I could think of is a brisket and, like you said, some smoked sausage. You know, and actually there was one smoker that I was looking at that had more than one level. So you can smoke, like, you know, two or three different things at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
On separate grill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
The offset firebox ones are good because they usually have three levels. There's very bottom, middle, and then there's a top one that's hooked into the lid.
Well, and then also, did I tell you that I saw a place out here that sells firewood, especially for barbecuing?
There we go. You're on the way. Now, okay. Here's a fun one. Go up into the wine country someday, long about, you know, when they're doing their trimming and stuff. See if you can talk somebody out of a bale of grapevine trimmings. I don't know for a fact that Todd in South Carolina is listening right now. But if he is, when I just mentioned grapevines, he went, "Damn him!"
I know. It's so funny because it seems like the last couple of times that I called. And I had no idea. It was like right at the end of you guys' calls, and Todd would say, "I don't know if Tracy's listening." And I'm like, "Well, it just so happens to be that I am." You know, and my main reason for calling is because, you know, of all the stuff that's happening around us, we talk about, you know, how the craziness that is this country and this world, but then we have those wonderful moments where we go into the food porn. And I think that makes everything all right. I think that when you could talk about food porn, and you just think about, you know, how fortunate we are, even though,
yeah,
you know, we're dealing with batshit crazy motherfuckers at this point in time, we still have the ability to find...
Well, this is how you keep... This is how you keep those fine, fine threads of sanity woven together, Tracy.
Yes. And, it, you know, my next thing, you know, I told you guys, you know, I have the ice cream maker that goes on my KitchenAid, but
with
I'm
the,
going
with the
to
bowl,
go ahead and
with
get,
the,
it.
Get another bowl.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to actually just get a true, honest-to-goodness ice cream maker.
Ooh, the electric one?
The electric one, yeah. I can't do that. I mean, back in the day, I could churn shit.
Oh, no. I've got a Jones for one of those, too.
So we're going to, once it starts to cool down.
And I mean
down,
to tell you, the blueberry vanilla ice cream I made while family was up here was something special.
See, you know, it's so, because the only thing I could think of, the blueberry vanilla ice cream topping a blueberry crumble.
Well, if you... See, the way mine is, it's kind of tough because I can't add stuff late in the process. It either goes or it doesn't go.
Now, I'm talking about a blueberry crumble that's like a blueberry, like, coffee cake or cobbler, for God's sake. Blueberry cobbler with a crumble on top, topped with blueberry vanilla ice cream.
Where
did you go, Bob?
No, that's
where
working.
Did you go, Bob?
Oh, I went to my happy place.
Did you go? See, it's those things, because I haven't really done a really good dessert in a while, and when I get home, because I'm going to probably leave, I haven't gone to the store, but it's a quick shopping trip, and Dad knows I need to get out the house. That's why she sent me away. But I need for you to come out here. I'm either going to come there or can you come out here, but I'd rather you come here because, I mean, I know you could take it because all the restaurants and stuff that you've talked about, you know, but I just want, I have to, you got to have a deep fried shrimp taco. Bob, I don't.
Oh, no, I do. I really do. I really do.
I have to
I no, I do.
You do. You have to do that. We have to go to, you know, East LA so I can take you to, I can't think of the name.
I want to go eat in Koreatown. Believe you me, I want.
I really about to go to Koreatown. We could just go to the restaurants out here. You know, because there's a lot of Korean restaurants in the valley. I mean, but you do have to go to Koreatown to experience it. And then we, you know, there's, even though Chinatown's
and
still there.
Yes,
you know,
yes, yes. Yes, damn it, I want an In-N-Out burger.
You have to have, I mean, my brother, oh, that's right, because I got the best birthday present ever. I didn't know it, but my brother came out from my party from Atlanta. He was a surprise. What was the first thing he asked me to take him to?
Hey, yeah, hey, stand by. I'm going to do something here. Hold on. Let me see if I can make this happen. Is that you, Todd?
Hey,
Todd.
Todd.
Yeah,
you're on with
Tracy. Oh, my God.
You're on with Tracy. This is going to be fun.
Hi, buddy.
Tracy, you have no idea. I was thinking about you this evening because it's been so hot I could not cook out, and I just had a pecan tree, half a tree that fell. All right. So, of course, if you lived where I live and you do what I do, the first thing you think of is like, well, didn't hit the house, but now I have barbecue wood because it's all about the wood.
Where do you live, Todd?
Tracy, listen, you are at least just over one quarter of the way to me being addicted. I'm telling you, you're on the way. You have no idea how close you are to this smoking, barbecue, and grilling thing. I was listening, Bob.
I have nickel powers, Todd.
Bob was really nice. He was like, yes, well, this is the difference between grilling and smoking and barbecuing, and there's a huge difference. But see, Tracy, we're easing you into this. You don't even know it. You're easing into it, and Bob brought up the wine county. There was a guy on PBS, right? He cooked everything outside on the grill, and I know it's on. Bob, you've seen the show, I know. All right, Sonoma Wine County. No. Dude's out there with the grill. You can cook anything you want on a grill. You can cook a pizza.
Oh! Hey! Time out! We got a big thing happening here.
Uh-oh.
So I just received a communication from Third Stage Guild Navigator Sparky. He says, I have pomegranate chips, Bob.
Holy shit.
Did you hear that, Todd? He has pomegranate chips. And he just followed up and said, I can send some to Tracy if she wants.
Oh, I have socialized him my address.
See, over the last couple of weeks, it's been a little tough here because there's been a lot of tension and contention and crankiness in the community, and it's really kind of hurtful when we have that stuff.
I can only
because it makes me feel like, you know, we've tried so hard and not so much. But then something like this happens. I have pomegranate chips, Bob, and I can send some to Tracy. And we're sitting here talking barbecue, and nobody has said a word about the devil.
Like I said, this is why, you know, you don't hear from me for a while. Like I said, I was dealing with my birthday party and, you know, Jan in the hospital and her pain and all this. And every so often, and, you know, and like I said, a lot of times I'm listening. I've been really tuning in the last few days. And I, like I said, I tried to call, but like the other day, a couple of other guys got in, and then by the time my phone started acting right, it was too late for me to call in. So, but I do listen. But, and I've heard it, like yesterday, I heard it in your voice. And last week, I heard it as well. And it's that we're doing our level best to stay sane. We're doing our level best not to choke the shit out of motherfuckers.
Crazy.
Yes, dear.
That I like the way you put that because it was blunt. However, But see, we are at the end of the day, we have to have good food to be strong for the next fight.
we have to feed, you know, I call in and listen so I can keep myself sane, to keep my mind fed, but then and my soul fed as well. But we have to eat. We have to have those moments where you do a fondue on your grill. Okay? And you get some grease.
Tracy, they'll pull my redneck card if I do fondue on the grill. You understand that?
But you can still melt the cheese. I won't tell. Bob, I won't tell. You just can say the cheese accidentally on purpose jumped onto the grill because it wanted to have a smoky flavor. And then you take some sourdough toast or some French bread and you smother that up with some, you know, some olive oil, and you grill that on both sides, and then you use that to dip into the cheese, man. What?
So, Tracy, I think I saw the grill that you have.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that while wearing a disguise. Maybe I'll order up a UCal Berkeley T-shirt or something, and maybe nobody will notice.
This is mean,
Tracy. What complaints? I kind of didn't understand about, because I went from where you can do whatever the hell you want. You know, if you have a yard in suburban Philadelphia or Philly, whatever, you do what you want because nobody's going to say anything to you. But you were saying that your neighbors were complaining about your barbecue. I don't understand that.
Well, you know why? They saw my son out there and his best friend who's Hispanic. And they felt that it was okay to say something, and my son helped me back. And we moved our grill, and I thought about them, like, fuck that shit. I'm moving my...
Wait a minute, two people? But we're talking about two people.
No. The way you fix that is you go, well, as soon as it's done, I'm going to give you some.
That's true, Chris. Because I'm going to move my grill back, because I saw this on a do-it-yourself channel, how to build an outdoor kitchen with cinder blocks.
Yes. Cinder blocks are... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get loud, but there's a lot that you can do with a yard when you have cinder blocks. You can raise
beds,
make a rocket grill.
Todd's getting a little wrought here.
What's wrong?
No, I understand.
Todd, where do you live? Where do you live, Todd?
South Carolina.
South where? Did you say Carolina?
South Carolina, Stan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm a transplant. So I'm still, it's different. But
he goes up and says, "Hi, I'm Todd," and black or white, the person responding to him says, "Y'all ain't from around here, are you?"
First thing, yeah. Period.
We were talking about some of the stress last week. I was going to share a note with you from our buddy Joy up in Michigan. She said, "I'm still gobsmacked to consider that anyone would think that you're lecturing. It is, in fact, your compassionate non-lecturing that helped me come back down to reality. I have several friends whom I love very much, but they're still in hysterics. I hope to achieve a similar effect with them." Yeah, you just gotta breathe. It's moments like this.
I don't call it lecturing. No, it's not like you said. But you know what?
I got you both here, and we've had our fun and everything. So let me run this past you real quick. If you were listening a couple of nights ago, you know that I've got like Henry Kissinger Tourette's, right? Because I can't believe that the Clinton campaign is still out there playing footsie with a war criminal.
Did you hear that? I heard it. No, I heard it. They're waiting for him to make his big. They're making for him waiting for him to make his big endorsement, which to me is like, oh, you want Monsanto to back you from my garden? Are you kidding? Sorry.
So this happened. Dateline, August 10th, 2016, FoxNews.com. The Clinton campaign issued a press release today, very proudly announcing, get the hockey pucks, children. Everybody, couple of strips of duct tape for this one. The Clinton campaign proudly announced today the endorsement of former Reagan administration State Department criminal, war criminal, John Negroponte. Anybody remember John Negroponte?
Bad news.
Everywhere John everywhere John Negroponte goes, poor people die. A lot.
Bad news.
He was the ambassador in Honduras once upon a
time. That's what I'm talking about. The Panama stuff, all that.
The Contras. Remember, you know, Adolfo Calero, that bunch. The deaths. John Negroponte.
Cocaine, crack.
Yeah, John Negroponte kind of had an integral role in the training of the death squads that marched up and down El Salvador in the 80s. This man can't shave in the morning without it looking like that scene from Carrie with the blood running all over him from the from the death and damnation in which he's participated. And the Clinton campaign proudly announced today that they have received the endorsement of John Negroponte.
That's terrible news. That is nothing to be happy about at all.
Is it any Republican, no matter what the Republican, as long as it's a Republican that endorses her, that's okay? Is that where we are now?
Apparently what this means is that even your bloodthirsty psychopaths, Republicans, have something resembling a conscience, and, well, John Negroponte just couldn't... John Negroponte just could not countenance Donald Trump as president of the United States.
Yeah, but that's like Dracula turning down blood. You know, it's like
he was okay. In case you've forgotten, it's not just all Central America where he scored his greatest hits. He was also ambassador to Iraq under a dim leader. Back when the Coalition Provisional Authority lost $1 billion in the CPA sofa there, and they were throwing around shrink wrapped wads of hundreds on the airfield at Baghdad International.
Tracy, if he comes by, do not give him any barbecue.
I just got a note from Carol Baker saying, "Wow, Kincaid, you sure know how to throw a turd on the grill."
speaking to the baker of most things good, that's all I can say. Hello.
Oh, that was awesome. The baker of most things good. I like that.
Carol, that's how I feel about Carol. Seriously. I'm good. Carol and I are good people. She doesn't know it yet. We are. We're good people.
Absolutely. I'll vouch for the both of you. I can't just leave that thing lay there, does she not realize she has a progressive problem in the first place?
This is making me nervous. That's why I was trying to be funny, because this is the other night when you were on Malloy. See, this is what I'm saying. We have to have a mechanism now to keep her honest, because I'm worried about the TPP. I mean, all she wants is to win, and then she's going to be on her tirade.
And for all their caterwauling, there's a bunch of stuff that gang of right wing thugs in the Congress will go, well, hell yeah, let's do that. You know, especially if she decides to get her war on.
And they'll be like, well, this is bipartisan. We're working across the aisle. What do you want, right?
Oh, my God. There's only so much a girl could take. Oh, blueberry. I'm sorry. I just saw blueberry English muffins. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yes, there are, and they're tasty.
I have a question, Tracy. Do you have a large bag of hickory chips? Do you have a large bag of hickory chips?
No.
Please purchase one.
Do you put the hickory chips? I was reading, because I saw these little things that you put the hickory chips inside of, like, a box with holes in it, and you put those on top of the grill, right? Or do you put that...
Well, that's if you're using gas.
You can just a plastic container, just make sure they're really good soaked. I mean, that's the best way to start.
But don't put the plastic... Yeah, don't put the plastic on the grill. No, you can just... You can just throw them wet on the fire.
Right.
Oh,
do you have... Right. By the way, do you have one of those chimney charcoal starters?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, so we're good there.
No, my son Alex, you know, the day that I bought the...
Boy, y'all busting ass to run away from John Negroponte, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck? I mean...
We're talking about barbecue, man.
I'm just surprised. I didn't know you could do this shit off. This is not even a Friday. I don't know you had this. I thought this shit was like time sensitive.
Well, it just so happened that you called in on the same line that Tracy was on, so I decided to see if I, you know, Sparky makes the magic happen. I wanted to see if I could make the magic happen.
This is like a party. I like this. This is all right.
This is all right. I'm not driving. I'm wandering down the aisles of Ralph's, better known as Kroger, for you people that live on the other side of the country.
Oh, we like Kroger.
We go Krogering for the best of everything, including the price.
Yeah, see, you know, there's three different things that Kroger or Ralph's have. We have Ralph's Fresh Fare, which is the hoity-toity, because I live in Encino now, so that's the hoity-toity Ralph's. They have a little bit more high-end stuff. And then they have the, what they call in the hood, called Food for Less. And that's where, you know, for the ethnic folks, where they have the other kind of
the
food.
Ethnics.
You know, like
quit it. Just stop it.
The ethnics. All right, Giuliani. Don't be all like Giuliani on me. Come on.
No, because it's like, I guess they figure it's better than having, you know, suffering from a complete food desert, you know. At least there's some
right.
form of grocery store.
You don't have Safeway?
Safeway's big out there in California. Well, now it's called Bond. In Northern California, it's Safeway. Southern, we used to have Safeway back down here back in the day, but then they changed it to Bond. And so now, if you go to Northern California, there's still Safeway. But down here it's Bond, but they sell Safeway products. Like we used to have, you know, Ralph Brand products here, but now everything is Kroger. And I'm staring at you.
I've heard good things about Ralph's.
Well, Ralph's is just Kroger's, Todd.
Yeah, Kroger bought Ralph's. Ralph's used to be their own store.
Maybe that's why I like it, because, like, the one, like, I was a little over 60 round trip to get to the Kroger here, but. What they call day-old bread is like fresh bread. If you use it, you know, the next day, you're okay. There's nothing to it. Plus that private reserve brand, I think it's called.
I love the Kroger private selection stuff.
Private selection. Oh, yeah. I've never been disappointed. Oh, my God. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, so I have no – and their produce seems to be better.
That's like the night that I was talking about the private selection lemon dill aioli that I found manager's special down to like 99 cents. And I got lectured. I got lectured by Tracy, too close to mayo.
No. Listen. Dill.
Yes.
See, she ain't going to brook that.
No. Look, damn it, did you saw Undercover Brother? You know how I feel about mayonnaise, bro. Come on, man.
Since you brought up mayonnaise, I don't know if everybody knows this trick, though. I learned this late in life. You know, when you get ready to fry chicken, right, the easiest way, you dredge it in seasoned mayonnaise, and then you put breadcrumbs on top of that. Then you fry it. There's no egg, no milk.
No,
nothing.
Tracy ain't going to do that, Todd. Tracy is not going to do that.
Well, actually, there's something I thought about you the other day, Bob. Are you ready? Is everybody sitting?
Okay.
Is the Horn family ready to crush their pearls on this one?
Okay.
So, I was making Jan a burger. And so I, you know, one of those greasy, you know, you bite down into the burger and the grease goes down your side of your arm burger.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, in order to make a proper homemade burger, you have to spread whatever thing you're going to do, mayonnaise or mustard or whatever, and grill it on top of the burger, right?
Mm.
So I did that, and I did it with my own burger. Yes, but remember.
So you mean to say you didn't make you didn't? Okay. So you didn't make Jan a little white girl burger, and then
No. That's an insult to my nature.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm proud of you.
And I tasted it, but see, the mayonnaise was cooked.
The mayonnaise.
So it was white was and chilled.
Yeah, because it kind of loses its color when it cooks, and it just sort of disappears, which, by the way, is the trick. I don't know if Dr. John's going to catch this podcast or not, but he'll know what I'm talking about because his lovely wife knows, which is the trick to North Alabama white barbecue sauce.
Oh.
What's the trick?
Well, North Alabama white barbecue sauce, if you make, like, white barbecue wings, they don't look like anything's on them until you bite into them.
Oh.
Okay, but the white barbecue sauce is white with your spices and stuff in it. But, man, you brush it on those wings while they're grilling, and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Oh.
Gotcha.
And it's some kind of, and it is some kind of good.
Well, you know what? It's been so hot. I haven't cooked out, but I had to put this out here. I'm cleaning out my refrigerator because it's time to just, you know, you can't keep things forever. You got to eat what's in there and start over. So I made quiche, and I just threw it together. And
Okay. If my redneck card was in trouble, your black guy card is in big trouble right now, Todd. Right now.
It's always been in trouble, man. That's the way I roll, man.
By the way, before we get on to the quiche, we have a query coming from Carol Baker. She said, is poor white trash an ethnic group? Because that's where I shop food for less.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely.
She said, I have to shop in Kansas City and haul my groceries 50 miles back to Hooterville since the Odessa shopping rob went out of business. It's that or Walmart, and Walmart, just no.
Oh, man. That's not good.
Since the Odessa shopping rob went out of business.
That's terrible. That's awful.
But anyway, your quiche, Todd, your quiche.
My quiche, yeah, because, you know, I've got all this basil now. My basil's come in. And, you know, eggs and basil, they like each other. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And no sooner does your basil come in than the son of a bitch wants to go to seed.
Well, exactly. You got it deadheaded.
You turn your back on it for a second and it's over.
It's amazing. It'll happen overnight. I mean, those fuckers propagate. They're ready to fuck. Those plants are ready to get busy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
that's why it's fucking basil.
Fucking basil.
The basil turned out. Yeah, so I put a bunch of basil in this quiche, right? And I made it in one of our favorite implements, which is the medium-sized, high-rim cast iron skillet.
Yes,
Lord. I didn't have any pie crust. So I had to just throw some dough, you know, I just threw something together, rolled it out, put it in, you know, greased up. I didn't have to grease it up that much because it's seasoned. But, you know, grease it up, grease the frying pan up. And, oh, my God, I gave my neighbor some, and she was like, I was like, no, there's no more. She had this weird look on her face. I was like, no, there's no more. Even before she asked, because I just see her face. I was like, no, there's no more. I mean, I'd given her half of it. You know, at the end, you know, it'd have been
nothing. It's all gone now.
I mean, you'd be, right, you got to draw the line somewhere.
By the way, you mentioned the crust, so lo and behold, there in the chat room, Jug of Punch said, quiche, Mo uses lard for her crust. Well, of course she does, because she's a civilized human being.
Well, I don't use lard, but I come close. I use butter-flavored Crisco.
Where,
okay, wait. You want to do this, Todd, or you want me to?
Okay, go ahead. Get mad. Go ahead.
I can't.
Tracy.
Oh, here we go. And here started the lesson. I know. Okay, go ahead.
You don't have to.
That is in that stuff is worse for you than the rendered pig fat is.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I threw it out.
Partially hydrogenated. If you knew what they have to do to perfectly innocent vegetable oil to get it to turn into imitation lard, you wouldn't allow it. You wouldn't live in the same county with that stuff.
Trick Tracy, in Hoodie Hood ass Philadelphia, they have outlawed that shit. They outlawed that shit 4 years ago. Now they outlawed the big soda. I mean, seriously, I heard you talk about weight earlier. If anybody wants to cut down their weight, and I can only say this from my research as a diabetes prevention specialist as part of my PE teaching, part of my career or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, sodas are the worst thing because they have a high fructose corn syrup, but there's so many chemicals in these diet sodas and these hydrogenated fats like you get in the honey bun, like the 35-cent honey bun you see at the convenience store. If you want to die, just eat a bunch of those. You can lock up in a hotel room and get a case of those. You'll be dead by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real story of how they're poisoning poor people in America.
There you go.
And yet, lo and behold, so I was in the Wiggling Pig earlier today. and they were all out of my my white boy cinnamon life. And so I looked over and they had honey nut Chex. And lo and behold, all the Chex are labeled now no high fructose corn syrup. And like if you look at down the fruit juice aisle, you'll see it prominently displayed. No high fructose corn syrup. You know, so even the manufacturers are figuring out, wait, we're killing our customer base. It's not like we're big tobacco here. We're fucking fruit juice, okay?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, when we were, you know, back when they were doing this sequester and they were cutting people off of their food stamps, and even the Walmart people were like, yo. you do realize you're fucking with our money, right? Y'all need to slow your roll on that shit.
Have you guys had this Libby's Juicy Juice? It's strawberry kiwi. It tastes like the Kool-Aid. Like it tastes like.
But is it 100% juice?
Oh, that's all I deal with.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just checking.
Yeah.
See, I can't drink juice the way I used to love to drink juice because blood sugar through the roof.
Yeah, well, that'll hurt you.
It won't hurt you; it'll kill you.
Well, you know that's the thing. See, that's what these. That's why I really.
I mean, my goal is to never let any endocrinologist look at me and say, "Time for the needle, Bob."
See, it's a whole portion of our society that's killing their kids, and they don't even know it. They give them sodas.
They don't even realize that they're killing
sugar when they're little. You know, and it messes up your body forever. Like literally, these cells, your cells have a memory in them.
Yeah, so
and they will crave salt and sugar.
Yeah, and the high fructose and the high fructose corn syrup metabolizes through the damn liver.
Exactly, it'll fuck your liver up like liquor will.
Like booze. Yeah, exactly. And you know, so I'm trying. You know, Agnes is like, don't forget to get yourself some yogurt, Bob, because you know I'll have yogurt in the morning.
Right.
And so I label read the damn yogurt, too.
Well, yeah. And I'm glad what you brought up about the juice, because another one of my friends was, you know, when I mentioned this particular juice, because it's so sweet and it's so tasty. It tastes like Jell-O. That's what I was thinking. You remember how maybe people would sip and take the Jell-O before it set?
Oh, my mother used, when I was sick, my mother used to make me hot Jell-O. Just drink the damn Jell-O, you know?
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know what? Well, Tom, what was that juice you were talking about? Because now I'm on the juice aisle. What was it?
Juicy Juice Kiwi Strawberry.
There you go. And you can't go wrong. It's 100%.
But it's got to be the 100% juice. I mean,
it's 100. It is 100%. Yeah. I don't buy any juice.
It's mostly apple juice.
It's mostly apple, but it's amazing. This juice, and like if you like a cocktail, like a Cosmo, if you like a.
Hey, Todd, did you hear about the drink that I made for my birthday party?
No, but I'm ready to drink it.
So this is what I made. I got, this is, instead of Malibu coconut rum, my friend turned
got
me
that.
On, it's New Amsterdam coconut rum, and I got, orange pineapple guava.
Wait a minute, the Malibu in the white bottle?
Mm-hmm.
Smells like coconut oil. It smells like suntan oil.
Yeah, it smells like... But instead of using, you know, Malibu, which is like $10 more expensive, she told me about this stuff called New Amsterdam, which was awesome, by the way. And I got that with some Hansen's. It was Langer's. Langer's guava pie, guava orange pineapple juice. With the coconut rum on the rocks.
Blender.
We didn't do the blender. I just, you know, those spigots, those party spigots, glass bottles that you put out for your parties and people just pour it, you know. So that's what I used.
If I heard you correctly, you invited everybody over to your house for after a road trip, right? For everybody from the East Coast to come to your house.
Well, you know, I was
telling. I'm wrong. You can correct.
No, I was telling Steve from Georgia Stan earlier. You know, because he was telling me about Karen just deciding to whip up a pot of crab bisque this evening with homemade cornbread, because that's what you people do to me during the program.
Oh. And, but you do know that I do my homemade, you know what I do on the first of the year, right? I didn't do it this year because Jen and I were on vacation, but you know what I do, right?
Well, what?
Gumbo, honey.
Mm.
So...
Gumbo.
I do a gumbo party. I tell people I charge them $20 a person, and I cook all the food. So that the year
January, you're gonna have to take the shipping dates into account, and you're gonna get your Kaneka, and you're gonna make your gumbo with Kaneka, and people will fight to get to your door.
Oh my God! So yeah, because what I did was I did the gumbo.
Yeah.
Of course,
So time out, Todd. You tell me you've had Kaneka. Please.
No, but I was listening when you described it.
It's it's in South Carolina, Stan.
Well, I'll be on the lookout.
It sounds
like an Indian name. That's Kaneka.
It is a native name. Kaneka. C O N E C U H.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, that neck of the woods. Let's see. I know where you are, so let me see real quick.
You do. And I don't, you know, I'll be honest with you. At my age, I do not do any type of cheap meat. I don't drink cheap wine or cheap meat. I shy away from cheap liquor. It just your body doesn't do well with it as you get older.
Let's see. I don't see one right there where you are, but there is a ton of South Carolina Kaneka purveyors.
Well, I bet I can get it in Columbia.
Yes, Publix. Another awesome grocery store chain, by the way, Publix.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what? When I go visit my brother, when I go visit that last trip that I did down south, when I visited my brother, I started in Atlanta, then from Atlanta, we went up into my first time up in on the Appalachian Trail. I hope to be not my last, and that's when I was kind of weeping, because all for all those years that I had been listening to you about, you know, mountaintop removal, and to actually be there, to actually, you know, see those streams and all how and the snow and how beautiful it was or is, and to think about what they're doing to your part of the country, I'm sitting there, I'm in the car tearing up, Bob, right. And the wife is looking at me like, what's wrong with you? Am I nothing? I'm okay. It's allergies. I'm okay. She's like, I've married a mad woman. Because, you know, we could talk and talk. It's like, you know, like when you finally come up here, out here, and you get your first shrimp taco. It'll finally hit you what I've been talking about. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm just like, no wonder he's fighting so hard to keep his country.
That's it. People see, that's what I've been telling people. People say, oh, West Virginia, but they don't know unless you've been there.
I wasn't even in West Virginia. I was just in North Carolina, but it's still part of the Appalachian Trail.
In Appalachia, that's right. You know, it's just the mountains, Asheville, that goes on up. You know, it's just amazing. And it's like, why are you destroying your biggest asset? You know.
Exactly.
I wish we had another few hours, because I just don't understand it. It's like,
well, I mean,
you want people who live here, you don't. I mean,
well, they don't care, because the people who are making all the money off of it don't live here.
But
I mean, I didn't go last night, but I had a little report back You know, there really was a public hearing before the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection last night about whether people thought the WVDEP should change the water quality standards so we could have a little bit more cancer-causing chemicals in our water. Because awesome. The WVDEP thinks that's an awesome idea.
Yeah. Well,
you know, you got to, it's those tell moments where you go, what the fuck is, you know, we, again, and we try so hard. Like I said, I have to interject food porn whenever I can to keep us, you know, to keep us relatively sane. But then we, you know, when you just throw, you know, you just like to, you know, just throw the shit, like what did Carol Baker said, putting a turd on the grill, thank you, Bob.
Yes.
You know,
it's exactly what she said.
Exactly what she said. Because you're going, motherfucker, for real, dog? Seriously? Because I think, you know, it's when I hear about stuff like that, I keep thinking that I think these people really have, whether it's that movie Elysium or whatever, where they're building these big, you know, countries in space that only rich people can live at, and we're going to be left here on the earth. You know,
I believe that too, Tracy. Absolutely. Otherwise, why would they be stealing all the money this fast? And why would it's called a breakaway civilization? And that's what some people call it. You know, it's something's going on, and I feel sorry for the white folks in Appalachia because they're not normal white folks.
Normal is what we are definitely not.
White privilege, I think, is different. White privilege, when you've been there and you like, I used to spend weeks at a time there. And I'm telling you, the white privilege is different in West Virginia than it is.
But the racism ain't, Todd.
No, the racism is not. But I'm just saying. We don't have enough time to talk about. But what I'm saying is that it's so isolated and it's so mono. The economy is so mono that it's different. It's very different.
I've dealt with racism all my life, but I never dealt with it like I did. With my first true taste of it is when I went to Oklahoma City.
Oh my God!
Hey, I got to throw this in. This is just kind of the beautiful way that the community works. So, Danny down in Louisiana, Stan, just finished off your challenge, Tracy.
Awesome.
And he said, since you have Tracy on the phone and Todd, I made a small donation to help with Tracy's challenge. When you mentioned the pomegranate chips, I realized I had to. I lived in Southern California as a young kid as my dad was in the Air Force after I was born in Japan. I still remember the pomegranate tree in our yard in Cali. It's one of my favorite foods. Keep up the conversation about high fructose corn syrup. Haven't had a soda in decades. Haven't used a microwave in decades. Well, you get the point. No meat either, except for with friends that hunt. Now would be a good time to stop, as I can be a food Nazi, and I don't like using that word. And we got all the way through the program without anybody dinging the you know who pool, but I understand that. But thank you very kindly, Danny. Thank you very kindly indeed. Which leaves us somewhere around $35 to go on fundraising for the evening. So thank you, Danny. Thank you, Cletus. Thank you. Thank you, Ray, for meeting Tracy's challenge this evening. Thanks, everybody. For fundraising. You were going to say something on the way out, Tracy?
I was just saying, you know, just the fact that, like you said, just, you know, the privilege may be different, but the racism isn't. And until we, you know, combat and actually do something and have those conversations about how horrible racism is and what white privilege is doing to this country, then nothing's ever going to change. And on that note,
there we go.
I'm out.
All right. Hey, it's been a great conversation. I'm glad you called, Tracy, and I'm glad I conjured you, Todd. This has been fun.
I loved it. And Tracy, I was thinking about you before you called, and then you called, and the barbecue, and that's all that she wrote.
And that was it.
That's how the magic works.
So we got magic, and let's keep it. And everybody, if you like what you hear, and Bobby will be hearing from me. Good night.
All right. You take care. See you, Tracy. Tell Jan we're thinking good thoughts.
Thank you, Bo. You guys, too.
All right.
God bless you.
Bye now. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver, and Todd. what can you say about Todd? Living down in the wilds of South Carolina, Stan, and no, there is no more quiche. It's all gone. Yeah. Because, well, you knew what the next question was going to be. Thanks, everybody, for a wonderful prayer meeting Wednesday. Sometimes we just have to step back from the madness, don't we? And that was mighty, mighty special. So thanks for the help. And, well, Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow. Hope you'll be here because, you know, I will be. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to everybody who makes this community what it is. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.